to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4, Usual Suspects, as we begin the final hour, till we turn it over to Fred AJ and the Blitz. Barry, disturbing text message received from the legendary member of the on-air crew here at Gal Media during the break. And not surprising that he would reference something that is right in his wheelhouse in more ways than one, but Barry Warner tweets, Deep Throat, the first major porn in the early 70s. Now,
that's it. That's all he sent.
Now, I believe Nick added light to the subject by stating that Stallone is referenced as possibly also being in Deep Throat. Is that correct, Nick?
Well, the Rolling Stone piece that I was reading,
yes,
mentioned Deep Throat following the mention of the party at Kitty and Studs. So, but it didn't specifically say that he was in Deep Throat. I don't know if Barry has something on his end that says otherwise.
Barry Laminack?
Yeah, no, Barry Warner. Barry Laminack wouldn't have anything to validate.
No, I thought you were referencing it right now during the break, not that you have seen it.
No.
We know Warner has seen both.
Yes.
You don't just take this full circle with me for a minute. If you've seen The Hobbit and you were attempting The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, you don't think two and two together had Warner go from Deep Throat to, what was it, Nick? Party at Kitty and Studs?
Well, that's his idea. It's actually,
that's his idea of a movie to follow.
Trilogy. Yes. It's so apparently the original title was The Party at Kitty and Studs, but it's now on IMDb listed as The Italian Stallion from 1970. It got 2.8 out of 10. Here's the synopsis for the movie. Are you ready?
Yep.
Kitty and Stud are lovers. They enjoy a robust sex life, which includes fellatio and light S&M, specifically Stud belt whipping Kitty. Three women come over for a party and Stud services them one after the other. That is the entire synopsis for the movie. It is directed by Morton M. Lewis, written by Milton Lewis, and stars Sylvester Stallone, Henrietta Holm, and Jody Van Prang. Now, here's where you can tell that they really put a lot of thought into this movie, because the names of the characters, pretty much the names of the people. So Stud is Sylvester Stallone, and Kitty is Henrietta Holm, who I'm guessing, if I had to bet money, her nickname in real life is Kitty. I would be willing to bet you. But Jody Van Prang plays the part of Jody. Nicholas Warren plays the part of Nick. And Frank Maselli plays the part of Frank. And stop me if you've heard this before. Barbara Strong plays the part of Barb.
Barbara, yeah.
So good writing there. I'm guessing that when they were originally, putting the straw man together for this iconic film, they were just like, naked chick one, naked chick two. And then they're like, well, we got to have credits. What should we call Jody? Let's call her Jody.
Jody.
Let's just call her Jody. Just easier.
So we don't know if there's a plot or not, but at least we know there's a storyline that's easy to follow based on the characters and who actually portray them.
I gave you the plot.
That's what I mean. Well,
that's it. He belt whips Kitty, and then he services three women one after the other. That's the plot.
Doesn't that sound like Warner covering the Oilers on a Saturday night?
I was going to say, that sounds like a Saturday with some Zimas at Barry Warner's house.
Just add marijuana brownies, and you have a party. There you have it. And Oilers.
Oh, I bet Barry Warner still drinks Bartles and James. I would be willing to bet you that's his go-to. Or a Mike's Hard Lemonade. Or just a Mike's Hard.
Yeah, okay. All righty. So at least Barry's been a part of
it. Oh, there's a review. There's a review for it. I need to read this review. The reviewer gave it 2 stars. I wonder if they're like, you know, his acting really wasn't that good. This would be great. I really wasn't sold that he was into the whipping. What? Dude, just pull your pants down and enjoy the film like everyone else.
Okay. All righty. Hey, so let us know after you watch it tonight how it actually
I'm
gonna,
was. By the way, our listeners who are badasses, MK Cervantes on Twitter sent me a link to it. It's on Pornhub, apparently. So I will have a full report tomorrow on the party at Kitty and Studs.
Can't wait for that.
Typed one-handed. I will type it up one-handed.
JJ can help if you need. He's an expert in that field.
I don't want any dude helping me with this, Joel.
All right.
No, thanks.
Stay tuned for a review of Cliffhanger later in the week as Barry's adventures continue on the road, and then Rambo to finish out because he needs the trilogy. We are rolling along with another stellar version of the show. Barry's in Wichita. Nick and I are here, and we'll continue with more of The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nothing like a little Toto to tighten you right up. I guess this is a good time, Barry, since we haven't really decided it yet, but we can try and figure it out. But, of course, we always take suggestions. Whether we choose to use them or not is a different story. But we do have another Wayback Wednesday tomorrow to discuss with you on the road. And plenty of time to get your list in first.
Haters gonna hate. I've already made my suggestion, and I think it's brilliant, and I think the people would absolutely love it.
Okay.
I'm not telling you. I don't want to give it away. We discussed it off air, so I'm sticking with what I said. And if you guys want to do something else, that's fine. But that was my 2 cents for tomorrow.
Okay. Barry, let me hold you.
By the way, NASCAR Johnny said he heard Africa by Toto earlier, made him think of the Toto Wayback Wednesday, so that's why it all came up, Wayback Wednesday and stuff.
Okay. Breaking news, Barry, and it's not good.
Uh-oh.
Exactly what we talked about to lead the show, Barry, is exactly Correa. What we are facing now. Carlos Correa.
What?
6 to 8 weeks.
Yowzers.
Was it, Nick, torn ligaments in his thumb?
Torn ligaments in the thumb.
6 to 8 weeks of Marwin Gonzalez at shortstop.
Okay. Right?
I mean, yeah. I assume it's going to be Marwin. You're not going to slide Bregman over there. You're not going to put Yuri over there. And Marwin last night makes you appreciate Correa even more because he had that where ball he had to charge in at shortstop and then make the pivot real quick on one foot and the off-balance throw, and it had the velocity of a slow-pitch softball as opposed to what Correa throws over there. That worries me a bit.
Dude, that was a tough play to make, though. Don't.
I'm saying, but appreciate how good Correa is because he finds ways to make
I don't think Correa's making that play.
I do. I really do.
Oh, well. But, yeah, so what is that? That's going to lead him into September.
Oh, man.
All right, so he'll be back for a couple of weeks. That's good. I mean,
assuming
not good.
Everything.
Don't get me wrong. It's not good, but we are – where are we at right now? We are July 18th. So what, August 18th, you would consider to be 4 weeks. So September 18th would be 8 weeks max. That would leave you with about 2 weeks left in the season. You'd have a series against the White Sox, Angels, Rangers, and Red Sox before the playoffs started.
That sucks.
Yep. Not great news for the Astros, but when you look at what this team did last night after he left the game, they still battled. I mean, they still put up runs. Their pitching let them down, not their offense. Their pitching failed them last night. Their offense was just fine even without Carlos Correa. Do I want them to be without him? Absolutely not. The beautiful thing about this team is they're deep enough that they can afford a hit like this. Years past, it was Altuve or bust. And if Altuve had gotten hurt, this team was going to really suck. It's worse than they sucked already. That's not so much the case now. You got guys that, I mean, you know, Josh Reddick was hitting third in this lineup.
Yeah, and look,
that tells you how deep this offense is.
Just look at the bottom half of the lineup and their stats versus the middle part of the lineup of most other teams in Major League Baseball, and you realize this is a totally different team, and this is a team capable of putting a Band-Aid on this, but you just want to make sure he does get back in time to get some quality games under his belt before you hit the postseason, and you hope that there's no stumbling blocks along the way in the recovery. But this is the first, obviously the Keuchel news, but he plays one, you know, he pitches every fifth day. This is your first everyday player to suffer this kind of an injury, and we had just said that they've been able to avoid it to this point. Most teams get several throughout the season, so hopefully they can overcome this. They do have the offensive lineup to overcome this. Defensively might be a little bit interesting, but at least you got a guy like Marwin who can play wherever you put him.
Yeah, and anytime you lose an all-star, obviously it's going to hurt. Up the middle, you definitely don't want to be losing guys. That's where games are won or lost, really, right up the middle of the defense. But, you know, this is a team, like I said, filled with hitters. You've got Springer, Altuve, and Reddick that are hitting 1-2-3, so you're going to slide. You probably slide, you know, Beltran or Gurriel up to that fourth slot to hit where Correa was hitting. But, man, the disappointing thing is he was having arguably an MVP caliber season. I mean, he was going to be top five, top 10 if he kept playing the way he was playing before the All-Star break. So there goes that now. But at least now, Astros fans, I know how much you guys love MVP chases versus chasing rings, but at least now Springer and Correa won't be splitting votes. It's going to all be on Springer if he makes an MVP run. He's not going to win, though. Aaron Judge would have to have a monumental collapse.
Who's also slumping,
to not
by
be
the
MVP. Yeah, what did he started off 0-for-6. What did he do last night?
I did not check on him last night. I know that he is in the midst of a slump, and it'll be interesting to see because he started out, if you remember, when his first time being called up, he struggled mightily at the plate, and then he just figured everything out this year. So interesting to see, you know, when things are going well, you seem to be able to pile on in a good way. When things are going bad and adversity hits, interesting how a young guy like that handles it. So that'll be interesting to watch as well. But
I would trade him.
He's got to go.
1-for-21 over the last 7 days. He's hitting 0-48. The Aaron Judge experiment is a failure. It's time to get rid of him. It's time to panic, Yankee fan.
There's the ace that the Astros need to add.
What?
Aaron Judge? Yeah, just make him a pitcher. He can't hit anymore. Just try and make him into a pitcher.
Okay. I would try that.
I mean, he's
you think he can hit 100? You think that big old dude can hit 100?
You know what's weird? Yes, I do. I really do. But then,
I do too.
But that's the kind of thing where you see the biggest guys sometimes, and then you put them in a situation like that, and they're hitting like 75. But yeah, that dude's got a hell of a lot of athletic ability. Yes.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, since the All-Star break, he is 10, 18, 21, 1-for-21. Yeah.
That's so sad. Good, though.
No. He'll bounce back, though. All right,
so you're convinced though that Marwin is the guy. He's going to play short. He'll fill the void.
It'll be interesting to see who they call up from. Maybe you see Fisher come up again, but it'll be interesting to see what type of move they make. You might need to bring up a guy that can play first base and spell Gurriel at times because that's what Marwin's job was. So you might, dare I say, see one of those names from the past like White. Or Reed, God forbid.
Wow.
But, you know, you might see Fisher. You might see Tucker. Tucker's been hitting the cover off the ball. So it'll be interesting to see who the call-up is.
Yeah, I'd be curious about that. I'd also be curious if you take a guy that played shortstop his whole life until he got to the big leagues, gets a little time over there, just to see if it works, or because he's played the position, especially if you see if you're you have any kind of a switch and a loss because of his defense, that maybe Bregman gets a shot over there for a while. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there, but Bregman's played it his whole life.
Yeah, I know he's played his whole life, but if I'm the Astros, I don't do that. And the main reason is I need him to get those reps. He's your third baseman. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And the same for Gurriel. I don't want him moving across the diamond. I want both of these dudes to continue to learn how to play that position because they're only, you know, 5 months in to learning. So they still got a long ways to go.
All right, so bad news for the Astros, and we haven't said that much this year, but if you just joined in, the breaking news, Carlos Correa out 6 to 8 weeks, torn ligament in his thumb. So we'll see how the Astros kind of patch it up and put a Band-Aid on it till he's back. He's due back mid-September. Should get a couple series in, as Barry said, before the playoffs start. But a bit of bad news on what has been a fantastic year for your Houston Astros. So keep an eye on what they do. I believe the Astros should have a press conference before the game tonight to address it further. So we just got that news out there. Nick, great job on the breaking news. So we'll continue to roll on. We are available for your thoughts and input, 713-780-3776 on the HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. We're the usual suspects, back with a whole lot more on ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I think he really does. The first thing we got to get Colin to do is cut his hair. You know, I mean, listen, I'm not up here to try to be politically correct, but, you know, even if he puts cornrows in it, I don't think he should represent himself, you know, in that way in terms of, you know, just the hairstyle. Just go clean cut. You know, why not? You know, you're already dealing with a lot of controversy surrounding this issue.
That's a fascinating thing to hear you say, Mike.
That he needs to do is, you know, just try to be presentable. I mean, look, so all the social media stuff that he's doing, look, we get it. We understand it. It's time for, you know, Colin to step up in a different way. And, you know, I think primarily the reason why he's not signed to a team right now is because of the last two seasons.
Wow, so that's Michael Vick talking about Colin Kaepernick. Your thoughts, Barry?
Yeah, I hate to say this, but it's true. That's just ignorant. Mm-hmm. That's just ignorance. The fact that you would think that this dude's haircut is the reason he can't get work is ignorant. And I heard that, I think it was Marlon Wayans came out and said, bro, you had cornrows when you were going through all your stuff. What are you talking about? Like, you're being hypocritical, one. And number two, what the hell does his hair have anything to do with anything else that's going on?
Any of his
and
appearance.
The controversy that surrounds him. Are you, I mean, the fact that it's an afro, who cares? I just, it's off the wall. It's kind of bizarre for Mike Vick to come out and say that. And I was, I remember when a reporter one time said, oh, Colin Kaepernick, nice guy, but he needs to turn his hat around and be more professional. And then someone was like, oh, you mean like this guy? And it was a picture of Aaron Rodgers doing an interview with his hat backwards. It's like, can we just stop with the double standard? If you just don't like the guy, that's fine. But let's just stop with this double standard for Colin Kaepernick versus what everyone else is doing.
And I mean, don't pick an appearance, and especially a guy that, you know, what's the expression? People in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. But I mean, Mike Vick, of all people, being critical is also crazy. But they caught up with Kaepernick, who said he had no comment to respond to Vick, but he did on social media tweet with the headline Stockholm Syndrome, and then followed with the definition of it, which is the Stockholm Syndrome appears when an abused victim develops a kind of respect and empathy towards their abuser. It was named after a bank robbery in Stockholm when a group of bank employees were held hostage, developed a strong sense of empathy towards their captors. And it goes on and on and on, but you get the idea. And they said maybe in a certain way, he was responding to Vic by posting that. But, I mean, look, we've covered this topic before. The guy still has ability. The guy still could make an NFL roster, should have already been contacted and should have probably already been given at least a tryout, unlike Seattle, who did it. In my opinion, Seattle just did it for publicity. But I think that this goes a lot deeper, and Mike Vick making comments like this does nothing for either party involved.
Well,
but
to his credit, he tried to clarify, and this is what he said on Twitter. I don't know if you saw this, but Tuesday morning, this morning, he released this at about 8:30. He said, Colin Kaepernick's hair has nothing to do with him not being on an NFL roster right now. Let's be clear. I wish only the best for Colin. I stand by what I've said about him being signed at some point this season to help an NFL club. I think he's a great kid who has a bright future, and I'm looking forward to seeing him on the field again. Trust and believe what I said was not in malice, Mike Vick.
That's kind of the reason why I brought it up, because initially when I heard the audio, I thought that he was kind of contradicting himself. Make yourself more presentable with the hair, get a haircut. But, oh, it's also because your production the past 2 years. But then I realized that he was mentioning two things as contributing factors. He's not necessarily saying that his hair is the reason why he's not getting a gig, but your production hasn't been the best. Perhaps being a little more presentable might help. Remember, Michael Vick is a guy that right now he's in a point in his life where everything's about appearance after that dog situation that he had. And so most people, like a guy like Michael Vick, before when he was with the Falcons, he probably didn't care about his image as much. But after that, he's all about how he comes out as a public figure, how he talks. And so I initially thought he was contradicting himself, but I think he was nicely trying to list two contributing factors as to why he's not under an NFL contract right now.
I mean, you look at this, and so if you read between the lines, Nick, you might be onto something, because take this for, you know, face value, and it says, even if he puts cornrows in there, I don't think he should represent himself in that way in terms of just the hairstyle. Just go clean. You know, why not? You're already dealing with a lot of controversy surrounding the issue. If you try to take that at face value, you can, I can see where maybe he just chose his words poorly, but what he's saying is, look, you got enough going on. Don't give him another reason to hate on you. You know, don't stop doing what you're doing, but don't make it easy for him, which I still, at the end of the day, I mean, just saying it out loud still sounds ignorant.
He very much sounded like doing, a guy like that agreed with his movement, but don't hurt yourself if you really want to be an NFL player. That's what I gathered from.
And you know what? Maybe it comes from a place of advice, like, hey, I went through this, man. I went through this. And these dudes out here, your appearance, they'll judge you on that. And if you're trying to get a message out, it's not going to be taken seriously. They won't even listen to you. You know what I mean? So maybe that's where it's coming from with Mike Vick. I don't know. I can't speak for him, but maybe that's what it is.
All right. We got a couple callers want to get in here on the topic. Doc, you want to get in here? You called in first. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing today?
Good, sir. How you doing?
All right. Y'all cleaned it up. Yeah, and I was getting ready to let you all know you cleaned it up and y'all started to understand. You got to remember now, Michael Vick did a poor job of explaining it. And when I'm a coach, so when I tell my kids, you know, you got to come in, when you're coming in to speak to me, you got to come in dressed a certain, you know, you got to come in looking presentable. You got to come in and want to speak, you know, when you're going around the school, you know, on game day, you know, you need to be dressed a certain way. So what I go back to is that when you're going in for a job interview, you're going in looking presentable, just like when you went to go get your job, you had to go in looking a certain way. Now, if he goes in with the afros and the things like that and not looking a certain way, and this is the person that's going to hire him, he only has himself to knock for that, because, again, just like I tell, you know, the people that come in, when I see a kid come in, he wants a job from me and he has his pants off his butt, I can tell you right now, Doc, you can have the best resume in the world. I'm not going to hire him.
Go ahead,
Doc,
Barry.
Let me stop you right there.
I'm
Doc,
with you.
Let me
go
stop
ahead.
You right there. I think you're being unfair, and that's unfair to Colin Kaepernick. How many of these star athletes playing football, the Pac-Man Joneses of the world? I mean, these are dudes rolling up with similar hairstyles, or you know, they're not I'm sure Pac-Man Jones isn't showing up in a suit and a tie for a job interview. Why should Colin Kaepernick have to do that? If you don't think he's a player, that's one thing. But to just not give him a job because of his appearance and you associate that with the stance that he took last year is just not fair.
Barry, let me, Doc, hold on 1 second. Let me give you the ultimate example to contradict what you just said. Allen Iverson.
Okay.
Allen Iverson never wore a suit. Allen Iverson's in the Hall of Fame and didn't wear a suit. Allen Iverson didn't get cleaned up for anybody in the regards that you're talking about. Allen Iverson was clean in the way he felt presentable and comfortable, and yet Allen Iverson was never turned down or sent packing on a job because ability and the ability to play the sport was his calling card. That was his resume.
Okay, but see, he's not the regular guy. And what I'm this is where I'm going with this. Now, once he wasn't able to have that ability no more, and he needed help to do certain other things, they didn't, that persona wasn't going to carry him through anymore because he wasn't able to do the same thing. I liken it to, some of these rappers, they got the tattoos all over the face and everywhere like that. They can do that as long as they're good rappers and making the studios money. But once they're not making any money, what are they going to do then? Because you still have to go get that interview. You still have to have a job. You still got to do things within a necessary realm in order to make a living.
Okay, Doc, if that would be the case, then you would say that he was statistically and otherwise he was done or he didn't have the ability anymore. But in 2016, he only had 4 interceptions, had 16 touchdowns, completed almost 60% of his passes on almost 7 yards of throw and 7 yards a run and a passer rating over 90.7. That's not a guy that doesn't deserve a shot.
Well, see, no, I'm agreeing with you. He does deserve to be in the league because of his athletic ability. So he's a good employee as far as his job. But what's holding him back, in my opinion, is the appearance of drama following behind him. So whether he's not showing any contrition on that. He's cleaning himself up. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to stand up a national anthem. I found a new way of doing things, but he's not showing any contrition by maybe not cleaning up the hairdo a little bit, not dressing a certain way. If you show that you're doing something toward that, maybe somebody would give him an opportunity, but they're not going to give him an opportunity because he's not, that wonder boy that he once was. So he needs to show something else different in order to get that opportunity again.
All right, Doc. Appreciate the call, man, and the insight. Barry, anything else you want to add on that one?
No, when you can watch these, what's the NFL films, the one they did on the Texans? What was it?
Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you see these meetings that they have. These guys aren't wearing suits to these meetings. Mm. And I'm not going to assume that every player doesn't show up. But my guess is a lot of players just show up in jeans and a shirt or whatever. And this is all about his hair. And it's all about... let's be real. And I'm sure I'm going to catch a lot of heat for this, but it's all about conforming to what the expectations of the media is, as opposed to let Colin Kaepernick be who he wants to be and be who he is and take the stance that he wants to take. This dude shouldn't have to conform to, I'll just say it, to a white media presence that thinks that the Afro is a little offensive or a little much for them. Get over it.
Well, and the
go
other
do
thing,
your job. He does his job. And when it comes to getting a job, it's the same thing. Look, if you're a GM and that Afro offends you, get over it. If you don't hire him because he can't play football, that's one thing. But if you don't hire him because he has an Afro and he takes a stand on something, that's completely different.
Right. And it's not just, and everybody's going to say, well, it's not the Afro. It's T-shirts. It's socks with pigs and police outfits. Okay, you can pick on it all you want. But my point is, just like I said about Allen Iverson, Doc is saying that if he wears a suit and a tie and he gets a different hairstyle, that he's immediately going to find a job and he's showing respect.
Let me tell you something. If he shows up in a suit and tie with a different hairstyle and they say, Colin, are you still going to kneel during the national anthem? And he says yes, he's not getting the job.
Right.
I don't give he wears.
And that's what I was getting to. But at the same time, look, there's been plenty, and we can cover it to nauseam if you'd like, but there's plenty of guys to your point.
I really don't.
Yeah, I don't either, but there's plenty of guys to your point that have vowed to never wear a suit. But if they can play, they can play, and that's why they get a chance to play.
Yeah, Ron Wells has a great point on Twitter. So is Clay Matthews going to cut his hair? That's exactly right.
Yep.
I mean, this is a game of what you do, a result on the field. But I mean, some people are scared. That's why Kaepernick doesn't have a job necessarily. It's more about the off the field stuff and not wanting that pressure. But I mean, to say cut your hair and conform just to get the job, I just disagree with that. I just disagree. Be who you are.
All right, we got plenty to get to, but only got one more segment to go. Phone board is full, so we'll try and get through as many as we can before we hit the button to turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. So stay tuned. We've got a lot more coming up on ESPN 97.5. You think you got it? Oh, you think you got it? But got it, just don't get it till there's nothing at all. ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, we're back with one segment to go and a lot of phone calls to get to. We're going to try and get to as many as we can, but try and keep it as concise as possible, gentlemen, because we are going to roll through right now. Go ahead, Barry.
Well, I was just going to say, can I just say one more thing? Because, of course, the Twitter and the text are coming in.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna belabor the point, but I'll just say this, and this will probably be shocking for me to say, and people are gonna. I'm glad this is our last segment because I'll find that hilarious that now you have to hit me up on Twitter or the text line. But essentially, somebody was like, "Well, you know, you're just saying that be who you are, but that's unemployed. So principals versus job, what's more important than paying bills?" And I'm saying no. But conforming to be, because let's be real, what this is saying is cut your hair, don't have an afro, be less of a scary black guy that's controversial. That's what you're saying for him to do in order to get a job, and that's BS. So that's it.
Well said. All right. Now, so, Nick, first up, we'll go to.
We'll just start from the top and go.
Let's go to Lane. Lane, what's up?
Hey, guys. Real quickly, I think the problem isn't that he's a big, scary black guy. I think it's the problem that he's using the NFL platform to get his message across, especially when that message directly contradicts the huge American flags they have on the field that support the troops, the wounded warriors. And I think that's where the issue comes. It's not necessarily his message, but the way he's using the NFL, and they want to protect the shield, so they are probably not going to allow him to continue to do that.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Great point. Are you talking about the same NFL that charges the military to be on the field? Is that the one you're talking about? That same NFL that made the Army pay for the time to be out there? I'm just curious. Okay.
All right. Leonard, you're up next. What's up?
All right. It's pretty crystal clear what's going on here. Kaepernick is being blackballed, just like Barry Bonds got blackballed when he had a couple years left in him because he's a jerk. Just like Ray Rice never got an opportunity to come back because of what he did. And Kaepernick, he took a stand and the NFL didn't agree with him and they're not going to let him back in the league.
All right, Leonard, appreciate
the
call.
I'm with him on that.
All right, L, you're up next. Trying to roll through all of them before we say anything else. L, what's up?
Hey, what's up, man? I'm going to be real quick. This is where being black is being a burden. I worked at a job for 2 years and I was the only black guy. And my hiring manager told me face to face that he would go to resumes and applications, and if your name sounded black, he wasn't going to give you the time of day. So if Colin wants to get back in the league, you shave your head, you stand out, you get in the, start throwing, practice, and get a chance. But you, as a black man, we have to stand out and be better before we actually get hired on, because that's just how it is, and that's just how society is. That's sad.
So he told you this, and you stayed where you continued to work there, and that was okay? I mean, I don't know, man. Larry, we'll get you in before Barry. Larry, what's up?
Well, what I got to say is that you can take a look at the owners of the NFL and a lot of sports franchises. They're a bunch of good old boys. They have their own fraternity, mm-hmm. and they blackball people for their thoughts. It's nothing new. Take a look at Augusta. Augusta hasn't changed their rules and regulations for oh so many years. It's a bunch of old guys that run the league. I remember years and years ago when I was younger, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, when he wasn't Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he said he wouldn't play for the United States in the Olympics because it wasn't his country. But lo and behold, he's never gotten a job. As knowledgeable he is in basketball, he's never got a head coaching job. If anybody should have gotten a chance, it should have been him. People don't forget, and they're not willing to forget. And when you take a look at the owners, there's no millennials owning any sports teams. And until that happens, you're going to be subjected to the same prejudices that these people have had and will have for the rest of their lives.
Appreciate the call, Larry.
Great point.
Yeah, well said. Well stated and concise. Very well done. You want to wrap anything up, Bear? I mean, you want to.
You know, what it comes down to is he's right. You have the freedom to make your opinions known, but not everyone's going to agree with that, and sometimes you're going to suffer because of that. And you know, it just sucks that has to be that. And yeah, I mean, I don't really have anything to add. I think I've said everything.
Larry's situation to me is interesting. The fact that his boss told him that if your name sounded black, that's crazy.
Well, and the fact that he's working there and his boss tells him this, and that doesn't one make
what was his name? What was the black guy's name that said that? Larry.
Larry.
You got a dude that looks at his resume and goes, oh, Larry, yeah. I'll call this guy in for an interview. And then he gets there, he's like, oh. Well, Larry didn't think Larry would be a black guy.
But he hired him.
A black man.
I bet you that.
But
happened.
Yeah, but here's the thing. That happens, though. That's the point. As a lot of people like to say, well, you know, this is Kaepernick never came out and said he was against the United States, or he's against the things that are going on, like cops killing innocent people. That's what he's against. He's not against America.
I don't disagree with what you're saying. I'm saying, though, that as a guy who realizes this is wrong, especially if the boss feels comfortable, if that's the right word, to broach the subject with him like that, to not have a problem with that, to have issue with that, and be like, man, maybe I need to rethink whether I should work here or not. And I understand you got to have another job, but that's one of those deals where, and especially as he pointed out, if he's the only black guy working there, that's a problem to me. I would have issue with that.
100%. I would totally be... I totally have an issue with that, but he got the job.
But he
sounded like a guy that was like, look, I'm doing what it takes to get the job, is what he sounded like.
Yeah. He sounds like he would have been like, you're right, Michael Vick, and he would have cut his hair to get the job. And it's a choice you have to make. And you know what? How sad is that, that as an African-American in this country, you have to make that choice. Am I going to conform? Am I going to cut my hair to get that job? Or like in Larry's case, am I going to do whatever it takes to get that job? Because there's guys out there, whether you guys, you know, that are sending me hate texts and tweets want to admit it or not, Larry proved there are people out there that won't hire you simply because you're black. It exists. It's a fact. I'm sorry.
Yep. All right. So we got no more time left on the clock. So we're going to have to turn it over to the Blitz. We'll continue our discussions for the rest of the week. Barry's on the road from Wichita to Oklahoma City. He'll be joining us from Thunder Country, no thunder down under, although he will be reviewing Stallone soft porn tonight. We'll review tomorrow, Barry. Travel safe. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Nick is here again, and we will be here the rest of the week in studio for Nick, for Barry, for Joel. This is The Usual Suspects. The Blitz is next, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.